Everybody sing that one more time. Fall on your knees. Hallelujah. Praise you, God. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for coming to this world. Thank you, Jesus, that you were born in a manger, that you came to save us from our sins. Thank you, God, that you love the world so very much, that you sent your only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him will not perish, but have everlasting life. So, God, we thank you this morning that the door has been open, the pathway has been open, the entry point has been open. His name is Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through Jesus. So we thank you, Jesus, that you came. That's why we celebrate today. God, I ask this morning as we just come into your presence that you would meet every need. God, I especially pray for Diane and Amanda, their family. Pray for the mom, grandmother, that you just touch her. The doctors have given her 92 hours to live. So, God, we just pray for her right now, Lord. God, we know that anything is possible in your hands. You are the miracle maker. You're the miracle worker. So, God, we are in desperate need in times like these. God, I pray that you'd touch every need this morning, Lord. I know that many people have needs. God, I know that many people are going through situations in their life. God, I even think of Ron this morning. It was about a year ago when he lost his wife. God, I pray for those who are mourning this morning. Pray for those who are going through sorrowing. God, I pray for those who are going through valleys. God, I pray in Jesus' name that you would just minister in great and powerful ways this morning. Who knows what the hand of the Lord could do this morning? Who knows what we cry out to God, what he could do in our situation? Only God knows, but we never give up. We pray, we pray, we pray. And we thank you, God, that you are here and you answer. God, what a wonderful presence it is to know that you're here with us. So, God, we rejoice in this season that we're in. Thank you, God. Just 2 weeks from today is the day that we celebrate the birth of Jesus. God, we pray that hearts would be softened, hearts would be opened. And we pray, Lord, that as they become open, Lord, that salvation would happen. God, I pray that knees would bow, tongues would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah. I pray, God, against all the religious stuff in our world right now and everything that's holding back the relationship. I come against all those things, Lord God, and I pray that you would soften hearts, bring them to Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for this morning's service, and we thank you for tonight. We pray over the drama, Lord. God, we pray that hearts would be open tonight and people would come to know you. We invite family and friends for such an occasion like this, Thursday night as well, Lord. Just move by your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord. What's going to happen, Lord? We just come expecting. We're expecting, God. So thank you, Jesus, what you're going to do. We give you praise already before it happens. God, be with me this morning as I bring forth your word. Thank you, Lord, that you are here with us. Your word always does some great things. Your word always goes into the heart. Your word always changes. Your word always rearranges our life and brings us newness. So, God, thank you for your word. Thank you. We love you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. 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 You may be seated. Yeah, the kids can head off to Sunday school. Enjoy your time, guys. Have fun, Danica. Good to see her here this morning. Good to have you here. Welcome. We're glad that you've joined us, Elvis. Amen. Nice to have our son and daughter-in-law with us from Brockville. You know how I dislike snow. And anyway, with the threat of snow coming in this afternoon and tomorrow, they sent us a text and said, would it be okay if we come over on Saturday? So I said, come on down. Yeah, it's good to have them with us. So we got, because of the snow, we get to have our kids more. Isn't that great? That's a good blessing of snow. Hallelujah. So there are some blessings in snow in some ways. Now, people have been asking about our young dog that I shared about last week, and I'm sorry for the tears that I caused you last week and the pain and the agony for all those dog lovers out there, but anyway, our little doggie's doing good, okay? So we thank Jesus, and thank you for your prayers. I mean, we pray for every part of our family, right? Even our little animals, and I know cats are very precious as well. Josh and Miranda have three of them, as long as they don't multiply, right? Amen. So welcome. We're glad you joined us this morning. I'm going to try to be short today because I know that we're going to have a full evening tonight, and I want to, I don't know if the drama team is practicing this afternoon, are they? No? You've given them the afternoon off? That's great. Amen. With pay. Wonderful. Isn't that great? Hallelujah. We do appreciate all the workers in this drama. I know that they've done extra time for the drama, and we're just going to come in and we're just going to let the gravy flow on us from what all their hard work is tonight, and so really make sure that you appreciate them and give them big hugs and maybe even what would you like, a box of chocolates or anything? No, he says no, don't give them chocolates. Okay, but anyway, bless all of our workers, and thank you, Miles, for all the pouring into this. Did you write this play? I can't remember if you said you wrote it or part of it or anything, but amen. Written by Miles, and so we appreciate all the work and the labors that's gone into this. I mean, we're pouring in to reach something, a lost soul. That's why we do these things. I mean, it's not just for our entertainment or getting blessed in church. We're reaching out. There's darkness all around us, and we've got to spread the good news and get the light flowing into our community. And so that's why we put a big colored sign out the front. That's why we pass out flyers, and that's why we invite, because we're trying to get people in to, they may not come into a church service, but they may come into a drama night. They may come in that, I got a call on the recorder yesterday. I answered it, and it was area code 514. Somebody drove through from Montreal and saw the sign outside. And so I looked, listening to the recording, it said 514. So I said, that's neat. Somebody from Montreal wants to come to the drama. They had asked what time the drama was, what the price was for the big dessert. So anyway, I sent back and I got a message at their end too. I said, it's at 6:30 on Thursday night, $7. Even at the door you can pay. So we may have some people from Montreal. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. Thank God. God is good. And God is good. And God is good. No, I like that. Come on, move. It's not moving. Did you click on the right, Wendy? Just want to remind you on Christmas Eve, 6:30 p.m. is our Christmas Eve service. Going to do a journey to the manger. It's going to be a nice evening. I always like Christmas Eve, nice family night. We're going to have some candles, aren't we? Going to have candles? Candles here. And it's going to be a nice family night. Come in your jammies if you want. Do you remember in Havelock, Josh, when the lady came in the one piece? Do you remember that? I said that, and I always caution myself when I say, come in your jammies. This lady, I think she was new to our church. Anyway, I said, why don't you, if you want to just come and relax, wear your pajamas. And this lady came in with a one piece with the feet already in them. I was, oh, whoa, that's cool. Yeah, welcome to church. It's nice to have you. I can't remember if she had a little bunny tail on it or not, but that was cool to have that. So, but anyway, we're going to have a nice family setting on Christmas Eve, 6:30. Try to keep the service to about an hour long, and so it's just going to be something nice that will welcome the blessing of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ as people who believe in him. It's going to be a nice family evening, so we invite you out to come to that. Okay, Wendy, stay there. You're going to be on duty, okay? So turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1 if you have them, or I'm going to read it for you off of the slide for you. I often know that people don't bring Bibles with them, and that's a shame. You should bring a Bible. You know, I always like when Bible studies on Wednesday night, I know that Pierre does a lot of New King James Version, and I bring in the New Living Translation. And the other night, there was four things that, I can't remember what it was now, but there was four things that you said in the one verse, that there shouldn't be any anger, something else. And I looked in the New Living Translation, they only had three things. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. So anyway, I like comparing different translations. So bring it with you. So, I'm putting up the New King James Version. I like that version. I was birthed into the kingdom on the King James Version, how foreverest thou art thou as todayest, and all that kind of stuff. Whither thou goest, I will go. You know, the King James, Shakespearean language is very nice. But then I found when I became a pastor to get up and to start reading verses of Scripture, whither thou goest, thou shalt goest after meest. And then, you know, I started going along. I said, wow, this is getting too hard for my tongue. So I... at that time, New King James Version came out, and so I appreciated whoever translated into an up-to-date, newer language. And by the way, the New King James Version, had a few mistakes in it. Just in case you have the King James Version, I don't want to blow any holes into your balloon here right now, but I want to let you know it was written in 1611. King James was on the throne of England at that time. That version was written and endorsed at that time and became very popular. But did you know that in 1948, the Dead Sea Scrolls were found? And as they uncovered many of these scrolls, they found there were some errors in the King James Version. Now, I want to let you know there is no error in the cross. The cross stands the test of time. There is a couple of errors that, you know, like... when these old pages get ripped off and torn or something like that through the age that you miss something, well, you know, when it got down to it, they found out there was a few kind of loopholes that they missed in the King James Version. Like, you know, with King Solomon, he had 120 horses or something like that. They found out that he missed, they found a zero in the Dead Sea Scrolls. So 1,200 horses. Or 1,200 chariots, you know, that kind of stuff. They were just kind of implementing things that we missed. And so the King James Version lacked those things. New King James Version was written afterwards, so it fixed up all those little things that were missed out and all that. So yeah, isn't it great? If you have a New King James Version here, you've got everything perfected. Isn't that great? There's a lot of good translations out there. Whatever translation works for you, just read it. Get blessed by the version that you have. Amen? Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. And Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Father, thank you for your word. Blessed to our hearts this morning, and we rejoice. This is a great time of year. We love going back to the Christmas story. the birth of Jesus. So God, over this Sunday and the next two Sundays, may we just rejoice in you and find again that treasure that Mary pondered over as she knew that the birth of Jesus was something special. So God, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'll see if this works now, Wendy. No, it's not going to work. Bring up the next one then, please. I love babies. You love babies? And all the grandparents said, yeah, I like them. I like when they come. I like when they go. Hallelujah. But I don't know, but every time I get to Christmas, I think about babies. Is that normal? I think about babies. I think it's kind of cool to think about babies because babies are really interesting. I guess it's because as I search the season that we're in, for sure it's about babies or about the baby, and not just any baby, but baby Jesus, the Savior Jesus, the Savior of the world. That's what we're talking about. So Christmas is about the very stage of our salvation hinging on and pertaining to the birth of God's only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what it's all about, is a season. It's a joyous time. It's a celebration. Babies, when they come into this world, are celebration times. I know there's a lot of labor pains for the ladies that they go through, all that, but it's a rejoicing time. It's a celebration time. And as our children grow, it's a celebration time. I love our two boys, love our daughter-in-laws, and the rejoicing that we've had over the years together. It's been so wonderful. And somebody came in and said this morning, like I said, I love Christmas. Christmas was wonderful. Now, Christmas changes as you grow older. When our kids were small, they just liked those gifts and everything else. They would move around on Christmas Eve when we got to sleep and tried to find things and do things behind our backs. You know, they were pretty wild, you know, kids at times. I can remember even one year they went all of their ways. Is that okay if I tell all these things, Josh, about you? Or are you watching the dollar signs going by? Hallelujah. I always promise the kids every time I use them in my sermon, they said, $5, Dad. You know, and so like, you know, it was always that way that they said, yeah, you can use me. How many times do you want to use me today, Dad? You know, they would just kind of, they'd present this little piece of paper at the end of every message and tell me how much I owed them. I said, tell you what, we'll go out for lunch. Well, that settled it all. And so we did that. That was fun. One year, they got up and unwrapped every gift carefully, then got the Scotch tape out and went back and wrapped them all back up. Was that your idea, Jeremy's?
Oh, that was
Jeremy. Okay, yeah, I knew it wouldn't be your idea. Yeah. But that's the kind of stuff kids do. I mean, that was the fun of Christmas and having kids there and all that. And, you know, raising. I mean, it's a little different as the kids leave and find their own homes. And it's kind of like Christmas is a little boring that way without kids running around your house and doing all amazing things. But, you know, it's still a fun time. I love her. We're going to have our son and grandchildren come up and next week, not on Christmas Day, but the week after of Christmas. And it's going to be a great time to see our grandchildren and rejoice in them. I know that a lot of people have said, I've got another son. I know many times Josh and Miranda have been here in the church, and I keep talking about this other son that we have. Now, he's a pastor. He's busy every Sunday. Just in case you think I'm just talking about another phantom son or something like that, we do have a son, Betty and I. His name is Jeremy. His wife's name is Holly, and she was born on Christmas Eve. And so that's why they called her Holly. Holly Noel is her middle name. And a wonderful daughter-in-law and two great daughter-in-laws and three great-grandchildren. Not great-grandchildren, but three wonderful great-grandchildren. And so we're going to have a great time of celebration with them. Christmas is it's a joyous time. It's a celebration time. Doesn't matter what part of our life we're in, it's a great time because of Jesus Christ and because he was born in this world. I mean, Christmas is joy to the world. It's joy to the world. Easter is more of a solemn celebration of Jesus dying on the cross, but yet I love that 3 days later, the grave is empty. That he rose from the grave. So, you know, just in case you come into the Good Friday with that solemn mood, all of a sudden, you know, it's Friday, but Sundays are coming. And so I like in Jesus that seems like you get celebrations everywhere along the way. So I love just serving Jesus so very much. But here's where I am today. I was thinking as we came into the month of December and this birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and all the implications and the scriptures that involve us, the reader, and what transpired at that time upon planet Earth. But I was reading this article last week, and I get lots of stuff, emails. You know, I don't know whether, you know, it's the church email or people find out you're a pastor, they're trying to get pastor to buy things, books and articles and everything else. But a lot of stuff comes my way. You know, my probably on my keyboard, the delete button is the most pushed. And so I just get rid of a lot of that stuff that comes my way because, you know, I would be there all week. I'd probably never be able to preach on Sunday if all we did was read these articles. And you'd probably get to Sunday and say, well, Pastor, don't you have a sermon ready for today? I said, well, I was reading all these articles all week long. Sorry, I don't have one. They're good articles, aren't they? A lot of stuff that we get. But one that I saw in the subject matter, it talked about what we should preach on Christmas. And it says that when we get to Christmas, we speak more to the what instead of the why about Christmas. That really caught my attention. We talk about what happened at that inn. What happened on that hillside with the shepherds. What happened in that manger scene. What happened in the sky with the angels? What happened? We detail it. We list it all out. We give you all the details. But this article said, a lot of times we as leaders in the church, as pastors, we forget about the why it happened. And that really hit me. I thought, yeah, that's right. We start detailing everything. But do you understand that we tell all the things that happened, but the what happened, we know all the what happened, but we speak a lot of those things, but we need to get down to the really nitty-gritty stuff, which is all about the why. That's the center of Christmas. Why did this happen? Why does God love the earth so much that he sent his only begotten son? Why did he deal with us and our sin, with the truth in sending himself, his son, to deal with our sin and to save us from our sin? Thank God. Thank God. To rescue us from the eternity that we were bound to without God. We were destined for hell. We were destined to a lost eternity without Jesus Christ. Why did Jesus come? So he could change our destiny. So he could change the direction of our lives. Why did God go to all this trouble of sending his son, born as you and I, a human being, and read about it in Philippians chapter 2, yet remaining fully God, going through all the stages of life, being a baby, a toddler, an infant, a young child, a boy, a teenager, and then an adult, to eventually go to a cross for you and I and die for our sins? And we could read all the what happened, what happened, what happened, what happened next in his teaching, what happened next in his life, what happened at the cross. But if we never get to the why, we've missed it out. And so as I was reading this article, that why was really hitting me in my office. Why did Jesus come? Why has he come into our lives? Why do we love him so much? You know, I think as you look at the why, you have to really say, are we worth that much to God? Are we worth that much of his time and his effort and his purposes and his plans? And as I look at the Bible, it seems so. His love is to redeeming mankind. His love is so powerful. It reaches into our hearts and our lives. I think that we need to be more grateful to God than what we are at times, at least myself speaking here, because I believe that God goes to great lengths to bring our attention back to him, to get our attention, to get our focus back on Jesus Christ, to get back to him, whatever the case may be for us, whether we're lost or just backsliding, whatever. I believe that God is always trying to get our attention to himself. For God to search out in his chosen people, the nation of Israel, and look for a young woman by the name of Mary, a virgin, even though she was betrothed to Joseph, yet the marriage was not yet consummated yet. Why does God go to all these lengths to find the right people, the right family, the right time? I mean, we read all the details in the Bible, but why? And again, if we check out the lineages in the Bible has been directing us all the way down to this couple, Mary and Joseph. I mean, just, you know, isn't it wonderful? When you get to know your Bible, you could see that kind of line going through the Bible, all the way from Genesis, all the way down. So when you get to Matthew and Luke and you go through all those genealogies, God is saying, this is the line that came all the way down. This was the purpose that I had. You know, when we get to all the lineages and the begats and the begots and all that stuff, how we get bored and we fall asleep and we close our devotional book and everything else. Well, God is saying, this is the line that I was following. That's why I gave it to you to read about it so you could know where I was going with all this. That's where it ended up with this young lady by the name of Mary and Joseph. Isn't it beautiful? So he goes to all these lengths to bring it down to Mary and Joseph. But why did God do all this through the centuries? God so loved the world. That's why. That's why. His every plot, his every plan, his every purpose is to bring humanity into his love, his fold, his family. Are you glad today that you're in the family of God? Aren't you glad that you're a daughter, a son of the Most High God? You're in the family. It's beautiful. And it all became about because of God's love that a baby was born into this world, and they called him Jesus. Could you bring me the next slide up, please? Wendy? Thank you. It says that she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted, I like that, which being interpreted is God with us. I believe that a lot of interpretation is needed to people who don't know Jesus Christ. They need to be interpreted to. You know, they look at us as a Christian people that I don't understand who you are. I don't understand why you talk like this. I don't understand why you go to church. I don't understand why you love Jesus. I don't understand that. It's like we speak a different language. And so things need to be interpreted to the lost, right? And so that's why it says, and I like that, which being interpreted is, if you want to know why, God with us. Did you hear that in the Bible? That's what is being interpreted, God with us. You know, he's never left us. Just in case you thought he was over there for a little while and thought he'd come back for a little while and be with us and then go over there again. He's never left us. The Bible repeats it over and over. God will never leave us nor forsake us. Never leave us nor forsake us. That's why the interpretation is being interpreted, God with us. People need to hear that. God is with you. So I don't feel God. God is with you. God is with you when you go through the valleys. God is with you when you go through those storms. God is with you when you go through all the turmoils of this life. He has never left you. That's why God says, being interpreted, I want to let you know God's with us. He's with us. He's with us. Like I said, I like this time of the year about babies. A baby, the baby, baby Jesus. So it's about baby Jesus, about his birth, his reason for coming, why he came, to make a Christmas for the world, a joy to the world, a celebration, and not only a birth of a baby, but the opening up of heaven to this world. Isn't that great that heaven was opened up to you and I? You know, does it matter if we get the date right, December 25th? Does it really matter? Is it? I mean, I said a few weeks ago about how many angels can dance on the head of a pin. You know, it doesn't really matter how many angels can dance on the head of a pin. Does it matter what day we celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ? Does it do anything for our salvation? I love the Lord Jesus Christ. I can celebrate on December 26th. I can celebrate on December 23rd. I can do anything because I love Jesus. You know, it doesn't matter. It's all about a baby. It doesn't matter if we get the date right or not. I wonder what it would have been like, though, as I was thinking of our world right now, if Jesus was born into 2016. Has anybody heard about the Winchester Hospital that is now directing things towards euthanasia? You know, just getting rid of elderly and assisted suicide, and they're bringing that towards that. And, you know, as I look at our world right now, after all, we're in a world right now that is, to me, has become very expert and proficient in destroying life. We think that we should mature and get smarter as we go along in the centuries and all that, but we become very proficient in destroying life through all the things that we see, the shootings in the news and the slayings and the murders. I mean, where is the sanctity of life? Where is what a life means? A living, breathing person. Where's that gone where somebody could pick up a gun and just
blow somebody away with no thought, no effort or anything else, just doing it because I felt like it. Or the slayings because you're not of my religion. You don't worship the same God as me, so I'm going to get rid of you. And the effort and the animosity and the shootings and the euthanasia and the abortions. Life has been so belittled to a great degree, and it is no longer about life, the abundant life. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and abundant living. He told us the thief came to steal, kill, destroy. And the enemy is having a heyday in our world right now. You know, that's a marker of our society today in 2016. As I look in our world right now, there's hardly any love for life. Hardly any. If Jesus were born in 2016, if the situation that was 2,000 years ago, you know, I know it was like, but I say it's a good thing that he was born 2,000 years ago, not 2016. I don't know what he would have faced. Next slide, please, Wendy. I mean, when you think about that statement that was put in there, imagine Joseph, not 2,000 years ago, but imagine what Joseph could be in 2016. And Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. Can you see that the thought processes are moving here? Like, what's happening? The Jewish people don't do this. It's not right that a woman's pregnant and there's been no relationships here. And his mind started going. 2,000 years ago, good thing there wasn't all the stuff that we face now. Can you imagine what they might have thought of in 2016? She's pregnant. Who's the father? What do we do with the baby? Can you imagine what could have been going through the thought processes of 2016? But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Praise God. Saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. You know, back in those days, divorce may have been the only thought there. But what could have happened should Jesus have been conceived by the Holy Spirit in 2016? What other options would have been considered of light of our 2016, could I say, mentality? What other options, what other chances of Jesus surviving in 2016 with all the other options? What would have been going through his head? I say thank God that God has plans and purposes and the timing from God is absolutely perfect. Did you know that? Perfect. Next slide, please, Wendy. Galatians 4, verse 4 says, but when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. In other words, that scripture, Paul is telling the church at Galatia, this was the perfect time for Jesus to be born in the world. I mean, sin has always been sin. It's always been rampant. Mankind is deep in sin. But God knew the perfect time. God had the appointed time for the first advent of Jesus. And by the way, did you want to, let me refresh your mind, there's going to be a second advent. Do you know that? Jesus is coming again. Just in case I threw you off with that word advent. Jesus came one time. Jesus is coming two times. The coming of the Lord. And I want to let you know, just like the first time, the fullness of the time had come. Did you know that there's a perfect time for Jesus to come back? And as I look in this world right now, I think it's getting perfect for him to come back. It's getting, this is almost the fullness of time. As we look at our world and the evil ways and the mentality and the death and the slayings and everything else that's going on. So I think he's coming back pretty soon. How about you? So 2 weeks from today is Christmas, December 25th. Jesus born. Perhaps, but that day we celebrate of the Lord Jesus Christ, December 25th. No one knows exactly the day when Jesus was born. Did you know that? I've been reading some commentators and tried to research that and find out. And you know what? There are so many people that if every month of the year, January right through December, somebody has got a kind of cornered that market, so that's when Jesus was born. You know, if you pick up any book or any author and you find out, well, Jesus was born in March. No, Jesus was born in April. No, Jesus was born in August. You know, pick up these books and you'll understand that everybody's kind of got a corner of the market as to when Jesus was born. Nowhere does the Bible tell us nor show any celebration of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know that? If the first Christians knew the precise year and day when our Lord was born in Bethlehem, they didn't seem to make any issue of it or any celebration of it. Interesting. Yet his birth would be remembered because of two of the Gospels have detailed information all about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Detail after detail, they give us the what happened. Yet his birth would be remembered because two of the Gospels are giving us all that information. And so for Christians for 2,000 years have done what Mary did as she considered all these things, we ponder them in our heart. We thank God for the blessings that we have in Jesus. See, the day of his birth is very difficult to determine. Did you know that? Dates have been talked about, and I went back, and there's a guy by the name of Hippolytus. Hippolytus, a Greek fellow. He lived from 165 to 235 AD. He figured out December 25th is the day. That's why we celebrate it. And another guy came along and backed him up on that, a guy by the name of Chrysostom. He lived in 343 to 407. He agreed with that. December 25th, that's the day that Jesus was born. Then along came the Eastern Church, and they said, no, January 6th, that's when Jesus was born. And so the Eastern Church, and of course many of them still celebrate that. When we were in Mississauga, we had a Greek family in our church. They never were celebrating Christmas on December 25th. They always had it, I think it was toward January 6th, this Greek family. And so I used to always say, well, Merry Christmas in January to them, and they would just enjoy it. But, I mean, it doesn't matter. I say it's great as long as we celebrate the birth of Jesus and know him as our personal Savior. Can you say amen? That's it. That's the bottom line. That's every line. That's all we need to know is that Jesus is our Savior. So bring up the next slide, Wendy, please. I guess I shouldn't say bring up. The next slide, please. It doesn't sound nice to say bring up in church. No. So I love babies. I think they're cool. So small. So fragile. Do you want to know whose baby picture this is? Oh, I'm just kidding. Nobody here. I mean, any child born into this world is absolutely, totally amazing. They're amazing. You know, that a child, an infant, baby born into the world, it's amazing. Isn't it a miracle? It's wonderful to see that child emerge from the mother's womb and the crying beginning and the small features of the child, the hands, the kind of like the way this baby's all clutched in there, just, you know, freshly born and eyes not really open yet. And they look so nice, don't they? You know, yeah, it looks like it's going to be a fighter maybe. I don't know. But I just love little babies. And when the first child was born in this world, I find it, you know, I went back to see, you know, back the story of Adam and Eve. I find it kind of a little interesting, a little amusing as I read that. But I like the context that when Adam and Eve had their first child. I mean, can you imagine what Eve was going through? I mean, you've a woman who doesn't know anything about pregnancy, doesn't know anything about a child being born. Can you imagine going through nine months of labor and your stomach is growing? And maybe Adam is probably sitting down and said, did you eat another meal? You're getting fat, woman. You know, I can just kind of hear, like, they don't know, understand what's happening. I mean, this is just going on. They love each other, and of course we see that happening. But I love in Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, when you get down to that first child being born into this world, verse 1 chapter 4 says this, now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Isn't that cool? I mean, it was a baby. I find that interesting. She says, I have acquired a man from the Lord. With the Lord's help, I've produced a man. I mean, we read the Bible so quietly, don't we? Can you imagine what she said? How she shouted it? I mean, anyone would be amazed at that first born into this world. Yet even today, every child that's born in this world, it's amazing. I mean, If anybody is, you know, anybody's pregnant, go in there and say, hey, wow, that's, you got a man for a boy. Oh, you got a woman. Say that when they're born, okay? That just add a little excitement to the day. But the argument has gone out for us for some time as to when life begins. Right? At conception. Now, I know we get tied up in December 25th or January 6th, whatever day it is. But how important was it when the Holy Spirit came to Mary and that which was found inside her was of the Holy Spirit at that moment? Maybe that should be Christmas. You know, listening to the arguments and the politics to the South and even in our own politics, when does life begin? We're trying to figure out when life begins. You know, is it 2 months in the womb? 3 months? When can abortion be made, you know, from the womb when it's not a life? Wow. We're trying to reason things out that don't even belong to us, aren't we? Yeah. Anytime you find a baby, a child born, it's amazing because we look at those children. We see God has a plan for their lives. God brought them into the world at conception. At that moment, they were conceived. God has his hand upon that. You know, they call it a blob, a tissue, whatever they have. They kind of put their names around a fetus. I call it a baby, a child, a person, a human being, a life in that womb growing. And they're trying to write this off, but you know, that life is growing already. God has his eyes on that child. God has plans for that child. I mean, read about Jeremiah that even called Jeremiah from his mother's womb. God has plans and purposes for our life, even from the moment of being conceived. So this world is trying to write off all these things. The plans of God are, as we think about all the purposes and plans, they're not always a bed of roses, are they? And if we decide to follow Jesus, if we have been around for any length of time, we know that following Jesus is not easy, but God has plans. That's why he tells us that, you know, when Jesus comes into our life, that even to our family's life, it's like he brought a sword between our families. But God, thank God that he brought a sword into our family. It starts ripping things apart and bringing us back to truth. You know, I'd rather bring a sword into a lost family than just leave them lost. I don't know about you. Sometimes we think, well, I don't want to rock the boat of my family. I don't want to say anything about Jesus again this year at Christmas because everybody gets in an argument and everything else. I'd rather have a sword in there that someday somebody gets saved in my family and a loved one comes to Jesus Christ. So I'll bring the sword out every time. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. How about you? We need to bring the Lord Jesus Christ into our family settings. It's risky business, I know for sure, to live for Jesus. It's not easy. Maybe why so many return to their old lives, I don't know, but it's good to live for Jesus. I'd rather live for Jesus and let the consequences fall where they may, because if my life will cause somebody in my family to come to Jesus Christ, then I'm just going to keep living it. And we know that at times our families get so upset over us. I don't know about you, but over the years, my family has. But the why Jesus came is still the factor of our present day world. They know all the details. They know, people say, yeah, I've heard about Jesus. I know about that. I've read the Bible. They know all the details. They know all the what, but they don't know the why. See, I've found that many people believe in God or believe in circumstantial evidences of what was been told to them. Many people are religious today. They will crowd churches at Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, yet they'll go home unchanged. They'll go home unchanged. What has this event of the world done for them? Nothing, so it seems. Many people will do all their penance, they'll do their offerings, their good works, but will return to life as normal after Christmas. So again, I say, what has Christmas done for them? Nothing, or so it seems. For Christmas to be special for us, it must be really Christmas every day of the year. I mean, you can't leave Jesus just on one day of the year and say, oh, yeah, let's talk Jesus. Let's go to Jesus. Let's go to church. Let's do all these things for Jesus on one day of the year, but let us return to our old way of life on December 26th. You can't do it like that. If we're in relationship with Jesus Christ, every day is Christmas. Every day is Good Friday. Every day is Resurrection Sunday. Every day is worth living for Jesus. Every day. It's got to be every day of our life we're living for Jesus. It's got to be a celebration, a living for this God who came to this world as a baby, came to get our attention because everyone loves a baby. I think that's why Jesus came into this world, born of mankind, because everybody loves a baby. I mean, I used to like when Josh and Jeremy were little babies. We'd go into the supermarket and you put them in those little seats in their cradle. What do they call the baby seat or whatever? It's been a while, okay? Can't remember all the terminology. But you put them in those little things and you go down the aisle shopping. And by, oh, cute little baby. What's the baby's name? You say, cute little girl. His name is Josh. We liked your hair, Josh. It's still curly. It's funny how, you know, unless you put them in blue or pink, they don't know what sex it is. I mean, it's a baby lying there. All they know is it's a cute little baby. Everybody, like, going through the supermarket, every store, everywhere, oh, can I just hold your baby? Can I go, you know, they do all these silly little things just because of a baby. I think that Jesus came into this world as a baby, as a mankind, so that we would kind of all go over at Christmas time and say, I like Jesus. He's a nice little baby. And we kind of get all this kind of good feeling around Christmas. But I want to let you know there's Easter as well. Crown of thorns. Side pierced. When this baby came, when this man, Jesus, became our Savior, it's not just doing good works, and it's not just doing religious things, and it's not just going to church at Christmas or Easter. It's not just believing in a celebration. It's not just hanging out the lights on our homes and eating lots and having family time and everything else. The why has got to be the center of our lives. Why did Jesus come? He came to change me. He came to change you. Came to change our families, came to bring us back in right relationship. When Jesus becomes a life in us, we change. When Jesus comes into our lives, we change. Amen? Next slide, please, Wendy. So I say Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. I'm not ashamed of that. It's Christmas. It's about Christ. Leave Christ in Christmas. The reason for the season is Jesus. I love the other night when I was coming down to prayer meeting on Wednesday night, and the lights were all up on the buildings and all that, and I came by the city hall, and they got Joyeux Noël, Merry Christmas. I said, good. It's good to see instead of just happy holidays or festive season or something like that. It's Merry Christmas. I like that. Would the worship team come, please? You know, I don't know about you, but I love all the stuff that goes along with Christmas. I love the celebrations. And in my younger years, we celebrated really good in my family. Oh, man, we ate lots. I can remember as a kid rolling away from the table on December 25th. Oh, my pain in my stomach. I ate too much. Ever been there? You just eat too much. And you play and you have fun together as a family and all that. But you know what? On December 26th, my life was still the same. It wasn't until Jesus came into my life that Christmas meant something to me, and every day of my life meant something to me. I could celebrate with the best of them, but I thank God. I found in my life before the Lord Jesus Christ, I yearned for more. I wanted more. I sought out God more. And there has to be more. There's got to be more to this life than one day a year of Jesus. It's got to be more. And so when we get Jesus, it's every day of the year. Jesus, this baby, he changes lives. But that's why he came. That's why he came. Came to change your life, came to change my life. So in this season of Christmas, read it all again. Read the story. Read the what happened. The manger, read the inn, read all that stuff. But as you read it through all tonight, could you get to the thank you, Jesus, for why you came? You came to rescue me. Amen? Would you bow your heads with me, please? Father, we thank you so much. I praise you for every detail that's listed in our Bible, so beautifully laid out. Your purposes, your plans, your timing, everything about it was just perfect. Just perfect. You knew when to come. You knew how to come into this world. And you gave us the why you came into this world. So I pray this morning, Lord, if there's somebody here that has never come into the faith, never trusted in you, heard all about you, but never really gave their life over to you, I pray this morning that you would touch them and that they would open their hearts and find out the why you came, Jesus. You came to rescue us. Emmanuel, being interpreted, God with us. With us. So this morning I pray in Jesus' name that you'd touch them. Is anybody here doubting their faith, just wandering in their faith, kind of just going up and down in their faith? God, I pray, solidify them. Let them find Jesus again. Bring them back strong in the faith. Give them a heart for you, Jesus, because that's why you came. You came to love us. You came to be in relationship with us. I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
In a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky look down where he lay, the little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay.
Thank you, Jesus.
The cattle are lowing, the baby awakes, the little Lord Jesus no crying he makes. I love thee, Lord Jesus. Look down from the sky and stay by my cradle till morning is nigh. Be near me, Lord Jesus. I ask thee to stay close by me forever
and love me, I pray.
Bless all the dear children in thy tender care and take us to heaven to
Hallelujah. That last line tells us the why. Came to take us to heaven, with to live with him there. Isn't that great? Aren't you glad for Jesus today? Aren't you glad for Christmas, the baby Jesus born in this world? Not just for one day, for every day of our lives we can live for him. Amen. I'm going to conclude in prayer, but I'm going to pray for the evening tonight, the drama, Amen. The presentation, the Holy Spirit, and what he's going to do tonight in through our drama that's going to happen tonight. Amen. Father, thank you. Thank you for this morning. It's been beautiful. It's nice to, I know we sing only these songs at Christmas time, but I love singing these songs. Away in a Manger. Beautiful song about baby Jesus. Beautiful songs that we have at Christmas. Joyous songs. And Lord, it is a joy because you came into this world. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Thank you, God, that you came to our world, even though it was full of sin, full of all the wretchedness. And like John Newton said, that you came to save a worm like me, a wretch like me. Thank you, God, that you came. We love you so very much. And God, we pray that somehow all of our efforts and all that we do will reach into a life God, I pray tonight that this place would just be filled with the Holy Spirit. I pray, Holy Spirit, have your way in this place tonight. Holy Spirit, people are coming in here who are religious. People are coming in here who think they are good by their own standards. People are coming in here who are part of our families. God, we pray in Jesus' name. God, bring to life that which is dead. Bring to life that which is lost in sin and trespasses. Resurrect dead bodies into the newness of life through the power of the cross, the power of the blood of Jesus. Holy Spirit, have your way here tonight, and may it be a wonderful, wonderful time. We're just coming expecting. We're coming just hungry for more of you. We're coming, we know that we're going to have a great evening. We're going to eat. We're going to have fun. But God, in amidst all that, Jesus, be real in people's lives. Thank you, God. Bless our day. And may we just go with you right now, Lord God, and be blessed because we love you so very much. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Come hungry tonight.